Welcome to the Blue Collar Nation podcast, the podcast dedicated to making the lives of blue collar business owners better. Before we start the show, may we ask you for a quick favor? Eric and Larry work very hard at delivering the best free content possible. Please help them out by going to iTunes and subscribing, and please leave them a 5-star review. Also, feel free to share the podcast with your friends and peers. Now, on to the show.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Larry from the Blue Collar Nation podcast.
Podcast.
We could be on a podcast, too, if we want to. So I'm here with my fastidious business partner, the Tech Whisperer, Mr. Eric Sprigg. Eric, have you fastidious about you before?
Yes, you have. You recycle words all the time. I know. We really need to get you a new thesaurus.
No, all the thesauruses are the same. It's me.
Okay, then maybe you should take more time.
So fastidious, difficult to please. That's what it means. Imagine that.
No, it means clean. It means tidy.
I'm reading off of dictionary.com. And it says exacting as well. And you're not being exacting. So.
Oh, I'm exacting. Not so much.
Anyway, we've got a great podcast today. We're very excited. We do have a sponsor here, Super Tech University. And Super Tech University creates time for you. Imagine that. As an entrepreneur, somebody's going to give you time. You're going to grab it and you're going to run with it. And you want to know how it creates time? We create better technicians that can make better decisions in the field. So they're not calling you and asking you questions, saying, help, I can't make a decision. We train them, Eric, the tech whisperer, to make intelligent decisions in the field. So go to Super Tech University, and we've got a new offer there. So if you go to Super Tech University /podcast offer, we're going to have an offer for you that's going to be a little bit of a break on the membership. So take a look at the sample lessons. Go to supertechu.com/podcast offer. Eric's looking at me because I didn't tell him about this before I was going to have an offer.
Oh, I'm fine with it. I think it's good. I'm wondering why you look like Voldemort right now.
It's just the lighting. It's a podcast, though, so they can't see me, so it's all good.
Okay. All right. Jonathan and I look like pretty well lit up, and you look like Harry Potter's trying to find you.
I wish I was well lit up. So anyway, we have a great podcast today. We have Jonathan Maynard, who's a client as well. But Jonathan has such a cool resume. We're talking about it. He's the CEO of the Huge Convention, which we'll get into during the call. He's also the CEO of Red Door Unlimited, and he owns Red Door Christmas Lights, which is probably under Red Door Unlimited. Also, Company 180, which is an amazing company. I hope we get into that. Sun Hands Media and Solid Garage Coating. Is that correct?
Garage Floor Coatings.
Got to get that correct. And that's a lot of businesses. We're very impressed, and it's a pleasure to have you today.
No, thank you guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I was just about to jump way ahead, so I'm not going to do that.
Why don't you give us a background?
And we were talking. Yeah. Let's do that.
The call, which was great.
I came in late, I guess, Jonathan, so I'm feeling left out. So I have all these questions.
Not a problem. So really, I started Red Door Unlimited 5 years ago, 6 years, I guess 6 years ago now. Time flies. Initially started it as a maid service and ended up growing that, selling that, and kind of simultaneously started Red Door Pro Wash, which is an exterior cleaning, power wash, and soft wash company, and grew that. In the meantime, started Red Door Lighting Company, which is primarily Christmas lights, and we share technicians between the two companies so that obviously we're in just south of DC, so it gets cold here, and December, January, February, washing really slows down. Man, so I was I really want to keep my technicians engaged and busy all year. So I found this out at the Huge Convention back in 2017. I think it was 2017, 2018, and said, you know what, that's a great idea. And I wish I could do Christmas lights year round, because that is probably, that's one of the most profitable businesses that I own. And so kind of
people would like many people like Christmas tree lights all year long. Many people enjoy Christmas so much, they could probably keep them up. And even the people that you see the Christmas lights in the house, that they just leave them up all year long, is quite entertaining as well.
I have seen it. So did that and really just automated the business so that I didn't have to be there every day. Now, those businesses run on their own, very little interaction with me, got really great teams in place. And honestly, I owe a lot of that to SuperTech University, because it took the guesswork for me out of having to train my technicians with a morning standup every day. I didn't have to be the guy. So it no longer had to be me there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And I didn't have to worry about, a general manager or something like that, having to come up with new content and content that they're not really versed enough to talk about. For example, disk profiles. That takes a lot to understand how, you know, a D talks to an I and what motivates an S and things like that. These kinds of things that even me, who knows what disk is, I'm not versed enough to teach it, and leaving that to the experts and things like that, sales strategies, different things that have allowed me to step back and focus on other things.
Great. Thank you very much. That's very kind to say.
Well, that was the intent, Jonathan, that it would be a tool to free the owner to do the other important work that needs to be done.
Yeah. And being, you know, good at what you're good at. And anytime I'm talking to a business owner and trying to help them through a situation, one of my biggest mantras is just making sure that you are doing the things that you're good at and paying people to do the things you suck at.
Yep.
And honestly, I suck at explaining disk. I suck at, different things that you guys are really good at. And I'm really good at these other things. Right. And if I can focus my time and energy there, then I can pay your subscription fee and breathe easy. And I don't have to think about that. It's kind of like I use a bookkeeper that does that. I use a marketing company that does that. And I'm okay at marketing. That's probably one of the better things that I'm good at, but I still pay somebody else to do it because I don't want to be managing Google ads. I don't want to be doing these things. I can pay somebody else to do it. When I first got started, that's not the way it was.
Right.
But as we scaled and grew and you got, you know, multiple trucks and things like that, you don't want to have to just mess around with that sort of stuff. So for me, that's what really, I think that was a gear change for me, is going, okay, it's going to cost a little bit of money and it's going to stink, but I can put the money there and concentrate at what I'm good at. So yeah, and that's what I've been doing for the past few years, is kind of growing these businesses. And we bought the Huge back in 2021, myself and a few partners. And that's been phenomenal. I love that event. We all attended as attendees for years, you know, just growing our businesses. And I love it because it is the premier educational space for, you know, small business owners in the home service space. And that's something that we're extremely proud of.
We're looking forward to going. This is going to be our first year. We couldn't make it last year, but I'm very excited. I mean, what you have, the promo, your video, and what people say around the industry that we talk to, they're like, you got to go. It's an amazing time.
Yep.
So it's going to be a blast. So I'm looking forward to it. Entrepreneur, public speaker, and problem solver. So what you do, what I want to lead up to is the maid service. I wasn't sure if you had a maid service. So you're selling businesses as well as starting businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sold that one. And honestly, it came down to the logistics of handling a maid service for me, that it was profitable. I didn't see how I could scale it. And I had a very interested buyer and decided, yeah, that's probably the best way. It was an easy way out of that one. My other ones I want to really hang on to in scale. And because whenever you do turn them at certain levels, you can get a bigger multiplier on your EBITDA whenever you go to sell. So I was like, okay, let's really get these scaled up to,
So what was the barrier to scaling the maid service? I'm curious about that.
I think it was, honestly, it was just my personal limitations, 'cause I was new. And competing against a lot of different things, a lot of self-limiting beliefs probably were the biggest factors. And also just going, okay, anybody can go to Home Depot and get a bucket and mop and create a maid service, and I'm competing on price and people don't want to pay this. And, and I'm trying to sell customer service and things like that. But then dealing with the employees I made service was a lot different than dealing with like my technicians that were power washing.
Interesting.
But talking to, you know, the ladies that were doing that were just, it was a little bit more out of my comfort zone dealing with that. Cause I've always led groups of like manual labor people and, or I spent time in IT. I would lead technicians.
Well, let me guess. And generally men.
Yeah. And it
changes the dynamic.
It does. And it's just different. It's different and not good, better or worse. It's right. Just that's something I had not done. And it was way out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Although I bet you now you could go back and scale that maid service business a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Now knowing what I know now and everyone's going back, I'm like,
Yeah. But, yeah. Mm. It's a part of learning curve for all of us as entrepreneurs. Oh,
yeah. You don't know what you don't know.
So did you go into like exterior cleaning after that?
Yeah. So that was kind of simultaneously. It's a weird story how it started. I had rented an office space in a strip mall for the maid service so we could have a storefront because I lived like 30 miles away. So there was no running it from my house and I needed the place for the cleaners to show up, wash rags and things like that. And so I rented this little office space and the property manager was taking me around and he goes, "Hey, by the way, you have a cleaning company. Do you know anybody that power washes sidewalks?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Yeah, I'm having a hard time finding somebody." He said, I called the guy that did it last time and he's not in business. I was like, "Well, what do you normally pay for this?" And he was like, $1,600. And I was looking around and I was like, "So I'm going to take more than like 5 or 6 hours to do." So I was like, and I'm one of those kind of crazy people that just go all in. So I started doing research and I told the guy, yeah, I would do it. And I ended up ordering this big trailer from Powerline Industries out in Utah. Had it shipped in and we did that. It was me and a buddy of mine power washed that. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go power wash a house. And I power wash a house.
Jonathan, Larry and I can't relate to that mentality whatsoever. our life story to us.
So I went and power washed a house and that was the worst experience I had ever had in my entire life. And I was like, this is the worst because I was just using water. Anybody just listening to the podcast that has a power washing company knows, okay, it was literally water, no chemicals. I didn't know chemicals. I did not know anything about sodium hypochlorite or any kind of chemicals.
It's like more power.
Stuff off. It took me like 8 hours to wash this like 1500 square foot house. And I was like, this is, who would do this? Why would any, this is the worst investment. I'm looking at this trailer. It cost me like 15 grand. And I was like,
yeah, a little bit of panicking going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, oh, this sucks. And then, oddly enough, I had bought a replacement part or something for the trailer from Power Wash Store. And they sent me this like flyer with a free ticket to this networking event, went up there, changed my life. I met a guy named Pat Clark and, he taught me everything he knows about soft wash. And, you know, I always joke, you know, a bunch of trucks and multiple locations later, I now have a soft wash company. But it took a lot of years, you know, a lot of years to scale it. But,
yeah,
you know, you learn.
Yeah, we know. I mean, our carpet cleaning and restoration business was, I'm sure, very similar.
Well, that's how we did it with the restoration. We had all the property manager's calling us, "Hey, we got this flood. Can you extract the water and dry it out and fix the drywall?" And we're like,
We do that all the time. Are you crazy?
We got
this. We went to Home Depot and bought 2 fans on our first water loss. Like we were that green. Like we had no clue, but we knew it would be worth more than the carpet cleaning that they wanted us to do. So we're like, all right, you know, and then you start going to, just like you, Jonathan, we started going to school and meeting people in the industry and going, there's actually a protocol to all this.
Yeah. Oh, there's a way to do it. There's tools.
Yeah.
Things that I don't know. Yeah. And that's really what I love about the Huge Convention is because you get the industry leaders that are going to talk about things, but then you also, and this is probably more important, are the hallway conversations.
Yep.
where you meet people and, you know who to talk to, you know who to avoid, you know, the people that are there and they're, I have 45 trucks in 27 locations and I do $87 billion. And it's like, oh, yeah. Dude, that's, no. Yeah.
Me, Larry and I call those me monsters.
Yeah. And I remember having a conversation with the guy and just super humble dude. And I just started and I was just asking questions and I was just learning from him.
Was like, this Pat?
No, this was somebody else. And to this day, I don't remember who it was, but this was like 6-7 years ago. And I'm just like, wow, that's incredible. And I'm taking all these notes and learning yada, yada, yada. And I go over and I talk to another guy that I met and he's like, oh, I see you were talking to so-and-so and I can't remember who it was. And I was like, oh yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge. He goes, yeah, he should be. He does like $15 million a year in exterior cleaning. He's all over the Midwest. And I was like, oh, I was just asking him questions. Like he was just somebody that was just a technician out there washing it. You know,
he was inside of the same class you were in and you're like, hey man, you asking him a question or two. Yep. Simple as that.
Yeah. Super friendly dude. I wish I would remember who it was, but
it's interesting.
But if you go to the huge convention enough, you might bump into him again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Or if he sees a
whole, or he retired.
Or he retired. Yeah, he's not going there anymore. But hopefully he sees me on stage and goes, hey, that was that idiot I was talking to.
He actually figured it out.
We learned.
Hey everyone, Eric here with Blue Collar Nation Podcast, and I would just like to take a moment to talk about my favorite magazine for the cleaning and restoration industry, and that is CNR Magazine. I have been a longtime reader of CNR Magazine, and now my good friend Michelle Blevins has purchased that magazine and is growing it at an amazing rate. So if you're in the cleaning and restoration industry, you will be excited to hear that not only can you get CNR Magazine digitally, but you can also get it for free in print form, actual paper where you get to sit on your couch and read it, which if you're my age, that's appealing. So all you have to do is go to cnrmagazine.com, and that's candrmagazine.com to get your free subscription. And it's even in print. So if you want to stay on top of what's going on in the cleaning and restoration industry and hear, you know, get to see a lot of cool articles by a lot of very smart people, go to CANDRmagazine.com. Yeah, well, Larry and I did that when we joined our first group. We just kind of identified, oh, there's the couple people here that are a lot more successful than the rest of us. We're just going to go introduce ourselves at the bar after. And next thing you know, we're at their place and they're basically showing us in 2 days what would have taken us 2 years to learn. Yeah. Maybe 10 years. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what's terrific about it is you can get these relationships and just find people that are from your area. We've got a lot, especially at the huge convention. We have a lot of just like networking events and just different locations. We're doing one just for Canadians. We have a lot of Canadians coming down and we're putting them all in the same room so they can collaborate and talk and things like that. And we're going to have different areas where people that are regionally together, but also same industry. And you can kind of help each other figure things
out. You can have like a hockey ring or something for them all to hang around and all the Canadians.
Yeah.
Molson's. Yeah.
That's what we're totally looking forward to it. And if anybody doesn't know, go to thehugeconvention.com. Is it correct? That's the email, the web address. It's on August 17th to 19th this month in Nashville. And the great promo video, we saw some of AC that was in there. Ellen Rohr was in there. And we see that Howard's speaking, Eric speaking, and there was a bunch of other people I saw. Brandon Vaughn was speaking.
That's great. It's going to be really good.
A lot of just really sharp people that are going to be talking, especially about business. But the cool thing is our general sessions are really geared on leadership. So we've got a guy named Hamish Brewer, leadership expert. Actually, one of my good friends who is coming to speak. a guy named Kenny Thomas. He he was in the army, was part of the Black Hawk Down mission in Mogadishu.
Was
made into the film, but he was actually the dude, you know, one of the dudes that worked on that mission that the movie was made after. So he's going to talk about leadership. And I don't know many more better people that can talk about leadership than somebody that's led soldiers in a battle. I mean, like, hey, let's go die together, you know. Yeah. That's a little bit different than, hey, let's go pull some drywall or let's go wash this house or let's go plumb this thing.
Well, it's, you know, interesting you say that, Jonathan, because, you know, people always talk about like soft skills. What are soft skills? And then I enlighten them that soft skills were developed by the U.S. Army. That's where it became a thing, because they recognized that their leaders, if they didn't have these, you know, interpersonal core skills, they couldn't go lead people into, you know, situations where they're getting shot at and want to do it. So, so much of that great business and life skills trickle down from our military.
Yep, absolutely. And he's just a blue collar dude. I mean, he's just as salt of the earth as it gets. So we've got him. We've got David Westover, who is, he works for ResponsiBid, a software company, but he does an amazing talk about validation. And so he's going to be doing that. I'm missing somebody else. And it's Hamish, Kenny, David. And there's one other person. I'm going to feel totally bad about missing this person. But the general session speakers are quite amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
No, that's great. And this is pretty much geared for any service company. It's not geared towards Softwash or...
It's a little bit of everybody. So, and this is what I like about it is we have four education tracks, sales and marketing, and it's sales and marketing for any business, any home service business or any kind of service business.
Yeah.
They're going to teach you, okay, here's why you shouldn't use Google Ads like this, or here's some, you know, some different things. There's copywriting classes. So anybody that needs to know how to write copy, you go to that. So we got sales and marketing. We've got a leadership, personal, like personal leadership. And then we've got a business growth and development. That's a little bit different. It talks a lot about the soft skills. And then we have an employee track. Now the employee track is going to be the specific. So how to hang Christmas lights or how to wash a thing, or if you have, a power washing company, knowing your equipment, or, there's one guy given a talk, on how to be an effective CSR or customer service rep in your company. And all of those different things translate to all the businesses. So it doesn't matter which one you're in, you got that. And like I said, the leadership stuff you're going to learn in general session is amazing. And then we have our expo, which is over 100 vendors. It's,
yeah, it's packed. You have a full hall. That's going to be great.
Everybody. If it doesn't matter what you want to do, it's there. And the nice thing is, even if you don't do it, you can find out about ancillary services or different verticals you can get into. For example, Christmas lights. That's how I learned about it.
Right.
And that is, like I said, it's the second most profitable business I own is Christmas lights, because everybody loves it and they pay a premium. And it's, you know, if you do it the way that they teach it there, you get recurring business every year and you follow the model that they show you. And it's just money in your pocket every year. It's terrific. So
the keynotes, Josh and Ashley Latimer.
Josh and Ashley Latimer. How did I forget about those guys?
I don't know, but the two of them have a very cute picture here on your webpage. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Thanks. They're amazing. He started a window cleaning company, grew it, sold it, and now does a bunch of different things. He owns a company called Warplan Studios that does videos for your company.
Oh, cool.
So let's think viral marketing videos. So for small investment, you can go there to their studios in Dallas. You shoot it. You wear a stupid banana costume or you do something crazy. If you think about the commercials for like Dr. Squatch or Mr. Cool or things like that, those like crazy, like viral video kinds of things. That's really what they create. And Josh has got a brilliant mind when it comes to that sort of stuff. So
that's cool.
They're a dynamite duo. It's going to be really epic.
Larry, we need to send you there with a pineapple suit on, get some video done.
Yeah.
Larry's claim to fame Jonathan, is that when he was doing route marketing for us, he delivered a pineapple to everybody. Oh. So everybody called Larry the pineapple man.
I got it the other day. So the other day goes, yeah, you're the pineapple dude. And I was like, yeah, to you, like 10 years ago. All right. Yeah. You still remember
that, huh? Shows you, you know, these types of things stand out.
He had no idea my name, no idea what I did, didn't know nothing about me, but he knew I brought him a pineapple.
Yeah.
So that's shame on me that I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to start critiquing that. Like, wait a minute.
There is a fine line there. And have you ever watched a commercial and after you're like, that was a really cool commercial. What are they selling? No clue.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost like it's so clever. You get mesmerized by that and then you miss the point.
Yeah. So they're really,
I'm not good. Saying Larry's clever. Yeah.
Right. The nice thing is, I think with Josh, because I've seen a lot of the videos that they produce, and what's nice is their call to action is really good. And I think a lot of times that's what you miss in a lot of your marketing is your call to action. There's a speaker that's going to do a dedicated breakout, and his name is Michael Burnoff, and he's got a whole course called Call to Action, and it's really using power words and things like that to help influence people to buy something that you're selling. And it's done in a non-shady way. Like, it's not slick, it's not sleazy, because I've seen that before and I'm like, it grosses me out.
Yeah.
So he uses that in such a way to help people just make a decision that they're going to already make. It just helps move up that timeline and get sure. them into a place. And if you're selling a good product at the right price, it's your duty to sell to people.
It is.
Exactly. I talk about that all the time.
Yeah, because if you and your good company don't sell it to them, somebody shady company is going to sell it to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it might as well be you and go do a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to probably charge more money than you.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. I remember Howard Partridge when, you know, because we were proteges of Howard's. And, you know, I was talking to him. This is very early in our business. I was like, you know, our guys aren't doing any in-home sales once they're in for the carpet cleaning. And he said, well, do they understand that they're doing a disservice to the client by not offering them the things that need to be done? And, you know, you don't think like that, you know, especially when you're kind of newer, you're just thinking, you know, oh, you know, we should be able to get the sofa or whatever. And then he explained that concept that we were just saying. He's like, look, when they don't, you have a good company? Yeah, we do. Well, then if you don't do the work, somebody else is going to do the work and probably won't be like you. So you better go get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's those little things. And it's things like that that you pick up at conventions or live events that you don't normally get. There was, and I saw this happen and I thought this was the coolest thing. Guy was talking about, he had a carpet cleaning business and he was like, I need to increase, you know, my average ticket a little bit. And so he went through a couple different things and he said, oh, by the way, do you sell spotter kits? And he's like, no, what's a spotter kit? And he's like, it's just this little kit that if they get a spot on their carpet, they can use that and clean it up. He's like, oh no, I don't have those. He said, okay, get them. Here's how you do it. And we charge $20. It costs us like $5 to make and do it. So he did it. They weren't selling. And he was like, they're not selling. I don't understand why. And he goes, well, is your technician coming in and setting it on the kitchen counter when the service starts? And he goes, no. He said, you missed that one detail. You have to bring it in, set it. They're going to look at it. And then it says, oh, hey, by the way, as they're going, totally. This is only an additional $20. And yep. But the customer's been looking at it for an hour or two, you know,
going, oh, yeah, they're probably picking through it a little bit and you know, getting interested slowly.
What's that? I want to see what that is. That's really interesting. Yeah. Bright colors on there.
No, that's really, that's very good.
Yeah. That's and true. You pick up things like that at live events that you don't think of, or you talk to somebody and we're all dealing with this right now. Leads have slowed down a lot across the board. And we've got this impending recession thing that may or may not happen. Or if they redefine it, then it's not happening. So that we have two separate people that have been through a giant recessions. Brian Hegarty has been through Y2K and what are the
2008.
Yeah. So he's been through that, and his company has thrived in those different valleys. And he's basically going to give a class on, okay, if and when a recession happens, you got to be prepared. And here's what you need to do to prepare.
Yeah.
And goes through the practical of this is how I did it. And then Brandon Vaughn's actually doing another talk on recession proofing your business.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Larry and I started our service business January 2nd, 2008.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, up until that point, everything as we were prepping, it was all good. And then boom. But you know what? In the long run, it helped us because Larry and I obviously didn't know what we were doing, but we knew that we knew how to market. So we just, if there's no work, we're going to outmarket everybody. And a lot of people sit around, feel sorry for themselves. And the ones that go get it, and once it starts to lift, they've run those guys out of business.
Yep. I just had a meeting and I was like, the question was, okay, we've got this, we need to start, you know, pulling back money and things like that. We're going to pull back marketing. And I was like, no, you're going to double down on marketing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Let's save marketing. Some other spots and move it over to here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how many people give up. And we saw it with our coaching clients when COVID hit. There are some people that we were dealing with that literally, it was almost like they breathed a sigh of relief and said, I don't have to try anymore. I have an out. I have a reason to say that I don't, you know.
Yeah, but they were looking for an out.
And they were. And then you see the other guys going, no. I'm going to double, triple down on my marketing. And they're just growing through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it's like an excuse. If you want to, you'll make an excuse to do it. If you don't want to, you'll make an excuse not to do it.
100%.
And in that mentality, I think, because it's so easy to give up right before you get there, because that's the hardest part. What are the stupid cliche? It's always darkest before the dawn, that kind of thing. Owning a service business is never a walk in the park. It never is. It never gets better. What are we talking about? Five companies, three of those are service companies. And still to this day, I'm not even involved in the day to day. And still it's like, this is not the easiest thing in the world.
No,
it's great. But owning a business is a struggle.
Yeah.
That's why everybody doesn't do it. But it's so worth it if you get it dialed in and you get it right.
Entrepreneurism is an extreme sport.
Yeah.
That's my quote. Don't steal that. Larry, steal my quotes, man.
But yeah,
it is.
It is the hardest. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
by far. And I, you know, one of the things that I talk about in a speech that I give is just this panic. I'd never had a panic attack in my entire life, but I'm literally outside of my house sitting in my truck and all of a sudden my chest tightens up and I can't breathe. And I was like, I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to die right here. And it's only because I was thinking about 100 things. Payroll and this big loan and all these things. And it's just this crushing weight of just all the decisions and everything. And I was like, I'm going to die in my driveway. And then finally just getting my composure and then walking in my house.
Yeah.
And then I got my family.
I remember when we were in full growth mode and, you know, we were way past our comfort zone. I was having one of those day.
No,
I call Larry. This time I'm really dying. You'd be like, no, you're not.
Breath, man.
Just take a breath. You'll be fine.
I don't have time to come and pick you up and help you. There's too much shit to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, there's no time to die. Just keep going. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Throw some dirt on your heart.
Yeah, throw some dirt on it. One of the things one of my mentors told me a while back, and it still just is so true, as I called him and I was at my wit's end and I was like, man, I just don't know what to do. And he's like, hey, if you don't think about blowing your business up at least once a month, you're not pushing hard enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I guess so. Guess I want to light this thing on fire about once a month.
I was years ago, I was on a mountain bike ride on a weekend and with another entrepreneur, same industry. And we got to the top and we were talking and I was complaining about this and complaining about that. And this is hard and that's hard. And he just turns around and looks at me and goes, "Well, business ain't for pussies." And then he rode away. I was like,
"Till next time."
Yeah, nothing else to say.
It's true. It is not for the, it's not for the thin skin. It's not for the weak at heart. But the problem, everybody thinks they can do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what the thing is, the conferences, when you're saying you meet people in the hallway, when we were in the beginning and we didn't realize that everybody struggles with it. And then all of a sudden we started talking to people and like, "You're having the same problem too? Oh my gosh. And you're having the same, oh, it's not just us." And it would just take a little bit of weight off the shoulder. You could breathe a little bit more knowing it's not just you. It's just going to be hard in general. It's not that we're making all the wrong decisions. It's that there's so many decisions to make. You just can't make all the right decisions all the time.
Yeah. Larry and I have a mutual friend that lives near me that he's owned several tech companies and they have many, many zeros and many, many employees. And, you know, we were sitting talking one day. And he said, "Eric, you know, at one point I had 10,000 employees and we're doing $1 billion a year in revenue." And he goes, "You know what the difference between your cleaning and restoration business and mine is? Zeros. That's it. Nothing." He's like, "Everything that you've just told me is the exact same thing that I deal with. There's no difference." That blew me away. You know, to somebody that big, and he's like, "Yeah, it's the same, more layers, but same stuff,
same problem, same employees, product, supply chain,
yep,
cash flow,
your P&L looks the same. You know, your balance sheet looks the same." The company 180, the turnaround company, and that's just my personal one, but I help with other guys that do like private equity and stuff like that. And we went into this company and doing multiple millions of dollars a year. And I was looking at it and I was like, "This is just the same crap, the same crap."
Yep. Doesn't matter.
Different scale, but it's literally the same problems.
Yeah. Well, we do it and we enjoy it and we're going to keep doing it, but it's nice seeing something like that and helping them. And you probably learn something doing like that. And you go to these conventions and you connect with people and you're just excited when you leave and you learn all these cool skills. You know, you just got to implement them in due time and just keep running with it.
Well, it's what you say, Jonathan. It's right on your LinkedIn page, problem solver. That's what we're talking about.
That's all I do all day. I'm a professional firefighter. Yeah.
Did you know Larry goes to the trade shows in a fireman's outfit?
No.
Oh yeah, yeah. I run around and going, "Do you put out fires? Do you put out fires?" And they're like, "Yeah, of course I do."
Go see Eric at the booth. You know? Larry runs around with a fireman's outfit on. You, I can't believe you said that.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, and it's because how much time? I mean, you know this. How much time and how much opportunity cost do we lose by putting out fires all day? Like, you know, you're always in this thing like, "Can I just put out a couple less fires a week or a month?" And that's where the growth comes.
Yeah. And I think for me personally, when I taught my technicians to answer their own questions and to solve their own problems, that's when it changed for me. And I there's a three factor, I guess, thing that we have to go through. Okay. Is it good for the client? Is it good for the company? Is it good for the team? If you can answer yes to all three of those, then just do it. I don't care. And they tend to do that. If it's two out of three, then they have a judgment call, especially, you know, when is it good for the team? Cause it might be good for the client. It might be good for the company, but this is going to stink. You know, we're already at 5 o'clock and we kind of want to get home, but it's right for those two other people. So we're going to do it.
Hey, did you guys know that Larry and I rebranded Morning Tech Meeting to Super Tech University? Yeah, we did. And we're super excited. New logo, new colors, and also a bunch of new packages. We realized that it's not a one-size-fits-all thing for this kind of training, right? So we needed to have packages for everybody's needs, you know, because some people wanted less than Morning Tech Meeting had. Maybe they only wanted a couple days a week, right? So we have packages starting now at just $47 per month, right? For a couple days of training a week. And then we have packages that for people who wanted more than we were providing. So they wanted some coaching, they wanted some other stuff. So now there are five packages to choose from at supertechu.com. Go to our new website, supertechu.com, and check out the packages. There's descriptions for each one. There has to be one that would fit your company very, very well. So again, rebranded Supertech University. Just go to supertechu.com and check out all the cool new packages. So let me ask you this then. Earlier on, were you addicted to giving the answers?
Yes.
Yeah, it's that the endorphin hit of being right or being the smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I don't care. Yeah. I'm just like, I'll figure it out. Yeah. I pay you well. You have a brain. You're smart. You're capable. Don't use me as a, you know. And I think a lot of times technicians feel like, oh, well, if he makes the decision, then it takes the responsibility.
Totally. They're abdicating all of that to you.
Yep.
And so, I had to learn. That was one of my biggest downfalls as a leader and a manager was I love to give the answer. And then what happens is nobody makes decisions anymore. They just call Eric or they call Larry. Larry likes to do it too. You know, we had to learn to not do that. It's hard.
Yep.
It's a double whammy because you get to be the hero, but then you get off the phone with them and you walk in the office with all the office staff and then you get to be the victim. Can you believe everybody calls me all the time and wastes all the time? Another endorphin hit when everybody tells you, oh, poor you.
Yeah. One of the things that I made a requirement is if somebody came to me with a problem or complaint, they had to have at least two or three solutions. And that really minimized things for me because they knew as soon as they asked me, I was like, well, what do you think? What's your plan? What are your thoughts? How would you do it?
Yeah. I saw years ago, and I never did it really. I did it a little bit, but there was a restoration guy. I think he used to go by the redneck restorer or something. Just like good old boy from Tennessee or Kentucky or something, and had a good restoration company. And he wrote an article in like Clean Facts magazine, which is like one of our industry magazines at the time. It still is. And he said he made a sheet or a booklet. It was at the top. It said like, I think his name was like Ted. So it was like WWTD. What would Ted do? Right. And then every time he would answer a question, he'd jot it down and then have the office team add that to the book. So then as time went on, they had like this little book that what would Ted do? I don't need to call Ted anymore. I can just look in the book. I thought that was really good information. I mean, obviously you could do that digitally now, but I thought that was very cool, actually. Yeah. You know, so
all these little things we come up with to make it happen.
Yeah, Jonathan, I'd like to dig in for a few minutes, if you don't mind, of just how you ended up with so many businesses. I mean, did all that organically just kind of fall in place or?
Yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment. So that's how that happens. Now, so I had the first two, Red Door Pro Wash, Red Door Lighting, and steamed those up. And basically, I have a general manager that was running. I was like, okay, I'm bored. What else can I do? And Sunhands Media is a basic company that does just a lot of graphic design. I've got a good graphic designer, mostly works for my company. And then just people I know, I don't advertise it. It's not something, if you called me today, that's not at scale. It's not ever intended to be at scale, but it's just a neat little.
So what are you talking like graphics for van wraps? Are you talking like your promotional stuff?
Promotional stuff, Instagram, Facebook ads. They do a little bit of everything. And so that's super tiny, almost non-existent, but it's still there. And then Company 180 is really the one that I like to focus on because it's my consulting, helping other business owners. I don't do coaching. Like I'm not a coach, but I do have people that I do coach, but I don't have like a coaching business, but I do a lot of consulting, go in and fix things. So if you're having a problem with hiring employees or something like that, I can go in and drill down and help with that, or turnarounds. That's been the primary focus.
Yeah. I would categorize that more as a consultant than a coach, because usually the coach is working on the owner, whereas mm-hmm. the consultant is drilling down. And those are my own definitions, obviously. But
yeah. And I'm not a big rah-rah guy. I'm not going to make you feel good. I'm just going to give you the right answer that I know best. You know, it could be wrong, but, and I always tell people, hey, this is based on my experience. I'm not going to just shoot at what I think needs to be done, because if I haven't done it, I'm going to tell you, hey, sure, I've never done this, but this is the way I think it would work. Let's beat this up. And so we, you know, let's figure it out. And that's what I really like about the consulting aspect is, we can do that. And especially with the other guys I work with, we don't just consult. We actually we're like, okay, let's figure out what you need for equity. And let's put an equity stake in here so that we have skin in the game.
Right. Yeah, it changes things.
Absolutely does. And that's what I really love doing, is just fixing things, fixing the problems, figuring out what's going wrong, and then helping people get to where they want to be.
Now, what about the floor coating business?
So that's a fun venture. Myself and a few of the other guys that either have ownership in the Huge or have just met through there. One guy started Solid Garage Floor probably 3 years ago, and he's had this idea. He said, hey, what if we just get seven, eight people? We just start that same one. It's a small like licensing thing. It's not mm-hmm. a franchise.
Right.
And it's very... we're all friends, so it's very kind of loose.
Right.
But the plan is just each of us, we grow our locations, grow it up, and see what we can do with it.
Yeah.
So
are we talking kind of like epoxy floor type stuff for garages?
Plate floors, quartz is the big thing. We can do solid color, like industrial floors, breweries, things like that. We just focus on garage floors, maybe some sidewalks, patios, porches, basements. But
yeah.
Huge market. And that's one of the things we're doing, a pre-show class at the Huge to teach people how to do it and how to start that business. Or
I saw that there. That's cool.
Is that the day before Huge?
Day before. So on the 17th, there's three different classes. Howard Partridge is teaching a class, and then the epoxy flooring class. And then guys from Spray Wash Academy are teaching two classes, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. One's a basics class, and then the other is a plant and property protection class, which is huge in the soft wash industry, because I mean, you're spraying plants everywhere. You got to protect stuff. So
Larry and I have been around soft wash now so much, we're starting to learn the problems and the lingo. Like, I feel like Larry spent 2 weeks at soft wash last month, or this month, I guess it was. And I was at the PWMCA in Orlando. Yeah.
Jamie,
good dude. So Larry and I we're picking it up a little bit.
Awesome. Yeah. It's a neat industry for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be learned. Is that with AC? Is AC doing the class at the,
No, that's Spray Wash Academy. That is Raymond Burke and, Doug Gore.
Okay. So it's Spray Wash. Okay. I see. Yep.
Yeah. And AC's got a whole line of classes and things like that that he does, but he normally does them, right there in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's got a training facility, which is really cool. We were there. Yeah. It was nice. Right on. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing them and all these other people. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of people, because we sent out a promo to the event, which was very smart by you folks. Send it to me, invite your friends. Here's 10 invitations for them to come to the event. And we just sent those out a couple of days ago.
Awesome.
I need to follow up and see who clicked on them and refer them to you guys if you guys want to follow up as well.
Yeah, because we feel that exterior cleaning is a great add-on for a lot of cleaning and restoration companies that are always searching for another vertical with their own client list.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what helped my floor coating company was, you know, I sent it out to our list of, I don't know, 7, 8, 10,000 customers.
Yeah.
And we sold a ton of floors without even having to advertise.
Well, because they already know, like, and trust you.
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that so awesome?
And it's like, hey, I'm doing this new company, and we're, you know, and it's like, hey, by the way, we're getting fully trained by a national trainer, and and we're going to do a bunch of floors before we try it on our customers.
So do you, I'm curious about this, and do you tend to cross train guys from the other verticals so that they can do now always new guys for each one?
Well, the Softwash and the Christmas Light Company, they're all cross trained.
Okay.
Because that's Red Door, but with Solid, we've just got just the crew.
New techs.
So new techs for that. And then just hit the ground rolling. And it's what I like about this versus even Softwash is we can do $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in a day with one crew.
Yeah.
And I'm not running all over creation, and they're there for the day.
They knock it out. Are most jobs a day?
Yeah.
Full day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm interested. I might go sit in on that epoxy floor class when I come.
Yeah, you should. I'll get you a ticket. It's going to be such a cool class.
Yeah.
We get there a day early because we work with Howard. So we'll kind of bounce around.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could attend that, I would be really, really interested in that. Very, very. Sure. It's very cool. So.
Oh man, see what you did. Now he's going to be on another tangent. This egress is happening.
No.
You know what? Jonathan had five businesses.
Larry, I just want to learn.
Yeah. We'll get your rope then. It'll be all right.
Okay. Well, Jonathan, can you tell everybody then how to sign up for Huge? And, you know, we want to make sure we get this out early enough so that the people that didn't know about it can attend, and just how to go about it.
Yeah. So it's August 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's at the Gaylord Opryland Resort in Nashville, Tennessee. And they can go to thehugeconvention.com and register that way. It's only $199, and you get all the free breakouts, general session. It's a terrific event. And you can book your hotel room. We have a special rate at the Gaylord right there, so you can book your hotel room there directly. It's great.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Don't want to miss it.
And for the listeners, because we have a lot of listeners from cleaning, restoration, plumbing, HVAC. I mean, Larry and I have been fairly newly exposed to this exterior cleaning, you know, genre. And you know, if you're in the area, you got to come check it out. Because there's a lot of money to be made, and it's a good industry, and it's helping people. They want their house to look beautiful.
Yep.
So matters.
Yeah, and you can be with, you know, 1,500 your closest friends.
That's right.
We'll be real soon.
There you go. Well, thank you. I appreciate the time, man. Really excited to meet you in person and come do the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you guys there. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, Jonathan.
Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Nation podcast. For more information on what Eric and Larry do, please visit www.morningtechmeeting.com or visit us on our Facebook page, Blue Collar Consulting. Thank you, and see you back here next week with another amazing episode of the Blue Collar Nation podcast.